Happy Mother's Day. What a great day God's given us today. I know we seem to be a little low in numbers today. Maybe some people are traveling. We know there's a lot of things going on. But for those of us that are here, it's a great day to be alive. Amen. Yeah. Great day to be walking in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's join together today. If you're able, let's stand. These hymns are on your screen. They're not in our hymnals this morning, but we're going to sing a little bit of a medley here to give a tribute to our mothers. I'm going to do just a little bit of a reading between the stanzas, and then we'll proceed from there, and it should be on your screen. Jason. Well, I'll tell you what. Then let's have our invocation, and then we'll sing to the Lord, and we'll go to the choir first, if not. These are called technical difficulties. So let's pray this morning. Our loving Father in heaven, thank you once again for a wonderful day you've given us. What a wonderful change it is, Lord, when we receive you as Lord and Savior. We place our faith and trust in you for the forgiveness and cleansing of our sins. And, Lord, for your indwelling of the Spirit that comes into the life of the believer. And for what all is in store in our walk with you, including eternity. Now, Lord, we're thankful for all that have come out today. This is a day that we think about mothers, and you have many messages for them in your word. And we're thankful, Lord, for that institution that you designed in the females all those years ago. Lord, today we want to come to you in a worshipful attitude, with a worshipful heart. We want you to know that you're an awesome God, and you truly are exceptional, Lord, in all things that you do in your manifestation towards mankind. And so, Lord, today as we go through this day, may we have lives that are changed today, Lord, by the teaching and by the introspection that we have in your word this morning. Lord, we acknowledge today in our humanities that there are many people of our number that are critically ill. We actually have about four people this morning, Lord, that are in very serious condition with health and medical issues. But yet, Lord, today we know that your provision has been made for them. In the way of salvation. But Lord, the most critical needs today, I believe, maybe even here in our service, but also in our world and community, are those spiritual needs, Lord, that are on the critical list. So today, Lord, we're thankful that you're the great physician and you've come to heal us. We thank you today, Lord, for visitors, and we just pray for our community and for this flock here known as Fruitland Baptist Church. Lord, that this would be a day that would be found pleasing in your sight. And we pray these things now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, where are we at here? We've got our songs are rescued. Okay, here's the beginning. This is She Will Be Called Blessed. And we're going to sing about a Christian home, too, in this little medley this morning. But here's what we find. Her strength and her dignity clothe her with beauty. In works of her hands she excels. A heart of compassion she turns to the needy. In service to others, she gives of herself. So let's sing together this morning. And thank you to mothers.
She will be called blessed by her sons and her daughters. Precious to the Father are those who seek his way.
Each morning to see her household, she looks toward the future with joy. She teaches her children true lessons of kindness and shares with them wisdom the world can't destroy.
She will be called blessed by her son and her daughters. Precious is the Father, our Lord. Savior, where Christ is.
and Counselor, Counselor and Guide.
It's a different song in key.
Well, I don't know what to say. I'll sing a solo. You follow along with me.
Help get start us into that song, Barb.
535. Oh, give us homes.
She's going to give us a name.
Built firm upon the silver. All right, here we go.
Oh, give us homes. Built firm upon the Savior. Where Christ is head. Honor the Lord and mothers today. Please be seated. Mother to me, she's a little.
impression. She stays closely at home. So alone and contented, although others may roam. And in tender young childhood was a shelter.
Well, good morning once again. Hopefully we've got some of the bugs worked out, right? Always remember this. As bad as it may be, sometimes it could be worse. But hopefully today we made a joyful noise to the Lord. That's the key thing, isn't it, today? It doesn't have to be always perfect from man's viewpoint, but if the heart was there, that's what God's interested in. Well, as we go on through our service this morning, I'd just like to direct your attention both to the screen and also the right-hand side of your bulletin. There are several things in here that would warrant our attention for the week, but there's some also that are not in here that I want to call your attention to. Tonight, we have our 6 p.m. service, and this is going to be, you'll get a little break from Kim and I tonight. You're on vacation. Kim and I have a commitment this afternoon, so Lonnie is going to handle the service tonight, so pray for him. And I know that there will be some good things that take place tonight surrounding the Word of God and your gathering together. So that's at 6 o'clock tonight. Also, we have a little mistake here with the music committee meeting after the morning service. That is next week, immediately after the morning worship. Next week, and it's just a very quick session. It will not take very long, just to be sure that we're all on the same page. How about that? About some music issues. Also, the kitchen team for May is listed here. And you'll want to take a look at that. Wilton Bible Study will be the 13th. That's this coming Thursday, Lord willing, at 6 o'clock, Presbyterian Church basement. Next Women's Bible Study, May 22nd at 10 a.m. Next Deacon Meeting will be May 20th at 7 p.m. And Men's Bible Study this month will be on the 16th. That's next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. So Danny is changing that to 9 a.m. in the morning. He's also had a consecutive Saturday. We met yesterday, but we'll meet again and want to invite all you men and bring people along with you because there's some good stuff there that we get involved in our study and discussion of the Word of God. But Denny is getting this set up now so that we will not meet the same morning that women do. And that way there will be no interference and so forth. So that's why we're going to be meeting next Saturday, and then it will be in consecutive order from there on following those dates. Right, Denny? Is that what I'm trying to get said? Okay. Also, haven't had any feedback. If you want to get something going with the Senior Saints to have a gathering, and, you know, I'll just throw this on the table as well. There's opportunities to take short little trips, things like that together. It's a great opportunity to meet for a meal, a little devotion, and just some time where you can bring a friend and just meet together with folks that are mature. You know, if you're in the retirement phase of life, come and we'll share if you're interested in getting this restarted again after COVID. You'll notice my thought for the week there, a mother who stands with and for God is a force to be reckoned with, displayed in resolve and results in her children and family. And then one last thing, you'll also see this on the bulletin board. Kay and Woody's mother, Helen Jondal, went to be with the Lord earlier this year. But there is a service that you're all invited to on May 22nd. That's a Saturday at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. And that's up at Walnut Park Baptist Church, where she went to church. So we want you to be aware of that. There's some extra details on a card that's up on the bulletin board. But I believe you're all invited to that. She was a very dear lady of the Lord, a representative for Jesus Christ. Now, is there anything that I've neglected this morning after that lengthy lineup of announcements? All right, if not, we still are in the mode of not passing an offering plate. By the way, we've got some guys that are standing in the back of the auditorium here. If you're visiting today or if you've been here for the umpteenth time, they're here to help you. And if you have any needs, you just put your hand up and let them know. If God's led you to bring a gift today to give to Him, there's receptacles on the back table and other information there that you may want to be aware of. But we're going to thank God for this opportunity today to give to Him and to let Him know that we certainly understand what He's given to us, which is everything. And we'll take that time. And then just a short meditation before we get ready for another special. And then some preaching from the Word, and hopefully a focus of our hearts to magnify and worship the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray together this morning. Father, as we gather together today as a local church, the assembly of believers, of the call out ones that have been called to salvation by you, O Lord, we just ask today, Father, that you would quiet our hearts, that you would give us hearts of introspection, but also hearts of love and adoration, which are directed to you. Lord, we live in such a hectic world. Things are just above and beyond what we can even comprehend. Some of us that are a little further along in years realize what a change we've had. But Lord, we need to get back to the Psalm 23 walk with you and allow you to lead us beside the still waters and to restore our souls. Lord, we're in need of refreshment in our day. And Father, we acknowledge today that you are the great shepherd if we know you as Lord and Savior. Help us today, Lord, to submit to your gentle leadership and to be involved with your flock. We thank you now again, Lord, and acknowledge that you have given us all things and you are the gift, the giver of all good gifts. And so today, Lord, as we're directed through the Word and the directive of the Spirit, may we give back to you cheerfully, hilariously, Lord, out of the abundance of what you've given us so wondrously. Also today, Lord, tune our hearts in to this message. Today is a Mother's Day celebration. We know that you have a lot to say in your Word about mothers. We know, like everything, Lord, Satan's attacked all things that you have stood for. And because of that, there is tragedy and destruction in our midst. But Father, I pray today especially for a mom here or for a dad, someone or a child, Lord, that struggle in these areas, that today would be the day they'd seek your healing through your mercy and grace. Now, Lord, we just give this time to you, realizing again, Lord, there are critical needs in our lives these days that are only fillable by you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you so much, ladies. I believe Kay has a special to give us today.
This is a reminder of a song that you were taught weeks ago. The Windows of Heaven. Is it up on the... Okay. So let's try it together, okay?
Blessings are flowing.
She did a good job.
Thank you. That's good. I trust today that you do have joy in your heart over your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we have every reason to be very happy, and yet I see so often today that people are dogged by negativity. And I'll tell you what, folks, if you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, if you're a child of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in a good position today. And you are able to even have that position bettered. And the thing is, you know, the Lord tells us to cast all our cares on Him. He tells that through the Apostle Peter. He cares for us. And so be assured today, God is interested in your life. And He's interested in being a major part of it. And I believe this, folks. Satan wants to tempt us when we run into rocky territory in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ to want to abandon Him or to want to give up or run away from Him. But let me tell you, Jesus always tells us what? He says, come closer to Me. And He'll give us the blessings of heaven. He'll open those windows. By the way, that text comes from the book of Malachi. And I'll tell you what, if we will make a movement toward God, He makes two steps towards us. Because He says, if you'll draw near to Me, I'll draw near to you. But anyway, I welcome you this morning and glad for all that are here. Glad for anyone that's visiting today. I know that in our current day environment, there is a lot of transitism. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of families that live different places and they travel different places. And so today, maybe we weren't the benefit of all the traveling. I think they left. But some days that works the other way as well. But you'll never regret spending some time worshiping together and gathering together to give glory to God on the first day of the week. So anyway, we're glad you're here. Well, the message this morning, the title of it is God's Privilege Plan for Mothers. And so it is Mother's Day, and I hope again that you've considered what you might do to honor your mom today, whether she is still yet in existence. It's a good day to go and spend some time or communicate. And if she has passed into eternity, it's a good day to recall the good things that God did through your mother. And I'll reiterate a little of that toward the end of the message today. But with that thought in mind this morning, let's bow for a word of prayer, and we'll get down to business here and explore the topic God's laid on our hearts today. Father, thank You again for Your love for us and through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the power and interaction of Your Holy Spirit in the lives of the believer. We pray today, Lord, that we be filled with Your Spirit today and empowered, that we would grow in You through Your Word. And we thank You, Lord, for the very stability that You offer through Your plan for humanity. We thank You for the institution of motherhood. And yes, Lord, we fully acknowledge this morning, at least I do, because Your Word says it and I know it, that we're all sinners. And yes, men and women are sinners. Our great ancestor, Mother Eve, made a grave mistake in the Garden of Eden, and yet, Lord, You rescued mankind from that mistake. You have not given up on us, and Lord, we thank You for that today. We're faulty, but Lord, You give us the way that things can be set straight and that they can be good. So we thank You for that institution that You have given to see our race perpetuated. That's the human race. And Lord, we acknowledge that today and are grateful for it and for the picture that we'll see in this message today of mothers. Now, Lord, today, again, it's important that we submit to you today and to allow the Spirit to teach us from your word, Father, that we would be changed. I pray today for any hearts in this room, including my own, that might be rebellious today, Lord. As we've learned here lately in our midweek services, a hard and rebellious heart is a very dangerous situation to be in. And we have that struggle in our humanity. It's called sin, Lord. But I pray today that you would speak to our hearts and that the walls of resistance that Satan creates between man and yourself might be broken down, Lord, through your power and through your love and through your forgiveness. Now, Lord, I'm the one responsible to preach this today, and I do count that a privilege. I really do. But you also know, Lord, that every time I stand behind this desk, it's a scary experience to handle your word. Because your word is powerful. It's like dynamite. And, Lord, we need to watch how we handle it. So I pray you'll help me today that I've properly exegeted the words that are there. And, Lord, that they will be used by your Spirit and fall upon the hearts of the hearers today. Lord, you know I'm weak and deficient. And I could go on the whole morning about my frailties, but Lord, your strengths is what I call down this morning to help this poor guy standing up here to deliver your word. And we'll give you praise and glory in advance. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, and we will be using our Bibles today like we always do. And maybe you have that on device form, but we're glad to have you turn along. But we do have some scriptures to look at today that are very important. Some of these may be controversial scriptures, especially in our current day, but I trust today that we'll properly present these things and gather what the Lord would have us to find here today. The message has 2 points today. This is a message that revolves around mothers that we could preach on for a year and not even scratch the surface of what God's Word has to say about that institution. But friends in Christ, first of all, happy Mother's Day. I've said that a couple times. I think I woke Kim up this morning about 4 o'clock and told her that. You can ask her about the card. I give Kim cards regularly to express my love. She is not my mother, but she certainly is my wife and the mother of our children. You can ask her about that card. I've been known to be a little bit cheap. And all my cards to Kim in later years have been written on a 3x5. Kim, do you want to share with them my little thing on my on the bottom of the card, what I always put in there? See, she didn't even look at it. No, she. You know, I can't remember it perfect. Something to the effect, veryinexpensivecards.com. It's a little bit of a joke. She shares them with our children, and they all have a laugh or a cry over it, one or the other. But anyway, thank you, mothers, for all you've done and put up with. I know if my mom were here, and, you know, I wouldn't be here today, obviously, if it weren't for my mother. But she made mistakes, and all mothers do. But I had a very good mother, a godly mother. And I thank you that, or thank her and thank the Lord that she set me on a proper course, or at least a more proper course than what I could have been on. And so we thank her for that. So everyone that qualifies today, happy Mother's Day. May this be a day of joy for you as we honor motherhood as a privileged plan of God for women. We live in a day and age where, and this has always been the case, it goes right back to the Garden of Eden, where women are listening to what Satan says, right? And he has a lot to say. And one of the things he says to people today, to ladies today, is this role that supposedly God has ordained for you is not a good role for you. It discriminates against you. It's a bad thing for you to be a mother or to submit to God's plan that he has for both men and women. And so today it's important, the subject that we're going to cover. But I want to assure you to begin with today that God has not given up on women. Women and mothers are not second class. Women and mothers are right there in the thick of God's plan and program. I want to tell you that today, and he has not abandoned that institution. By the way, just in case I forget, there is a little gift for all the moms today back in the foyer, and Deb will be handing those out. So don't escape out a different exit, but try to grab those little gratuities today that honor our mothers. Anyway, God commands in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 12, that we are to honor our fathers and mothers. Okay? So this isn't just a certain day that we do this, but it ought to be all the time. And that's an important thing. And you know what the end of that verse says? Honor your fathers and mothers that your days may be long upon the earth. So that tells me right there that our parents are very important to God, and they should be important to us. So here's what I'm going to say quickly. If you've had a flaw or a disruption of fellowship in your family, go to your mom today if you still can, or your dad. Set that straight and work to build a relationship that is even better with them, no matter what it may be today. And also recall what they have done for you. God wants us to do that today. Be sure and do that today and every day, as long as your mothers remain, and even in their memory, they fulfill an important role. Very important role. So, here's the question. Why is it a privilege to be a mother? I could talk to some of you ladies here today, and you could give me many reasons. And we could go into God's Word for many more reasons, but I'm going to give you a few today that I think are very critical. Why is it a privilege to be a mother? Well, when you think about that, there's a lot of things about motherhood that are not easy, aren't there? And there's a lot of travail and turmoil and testing that goes along with that institution from God. But the moms may have some thoughts on this today, but I would point this morning to just some of the biblical evidence of why that is so, that motherhood is a privilege. And so this morning, you want to turn on your device or in your paper Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 13 through 15 here eventually. But you know, verse 13 is a very tough verse. This whole chapter is a tough chapter, right? 1 Timothy chapter 2, why is it tough? Because as I've already alluded to, in our culture, Satan does not want us to ascribe to what God has ordained as his order for this world. And to cut to the chase, and I'm not going to preach on that this morning, but God has an order in the church and a role for both sexes, right? And we're not going there today, but we know this, that God does not disdain women. God does not place men in superiority over women. They're equally important, but they have distinct roles to fulfill under God. And again, I want to remind us that Satan is the one that energizes this thing and says, God's against you. Well, let me just tell you something. God's not against any person. He wants us, again, to come to him and to realize that his ways are the good ways. They're not the wrong ways. They're the right ways. They're the ways that are proper and the ways that produce blessings, see? But Satan's thrown this stuff out in our culture, you know, that God's a woman hater. No, he's not. God loves everyone. That's what my Bible says anyway. But anyway, here's a controversial verse that comes about the discussion about the role of men and women in the churches. And here's 13, and this is where people get into trouble. It says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And then verse 14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. Well, let's face it this morning, ladies. Was Eve deceived in the Garden of Eden?
Yes.
But let's also understand that even though she was the one that was approached by the serpent, by Satan in the form of a snake, the guy that she was married to, called who? Adam. When she said, Adam, let's eat of this fruit. And by the way, we don't know what the fruit was. Don't go to that agenda today. But it was a fruit. And what did old Adam do? You know, I've used this expression before. He says, oh, okay. And down the line we go. And yet today we suffer, don't we? Both men and women from the curse of disobedience to God. It's called sin, folks. It's disobeying what God has ordained. It's a sad thing that our condition is in. But here's the thing, folks. And I'll get to the verse 15 here in just a minute. But God has an order in his creation, and he has reasons and roles for both sexes, which Satan attacked in the garden. There is no superiority of sexes, but there are responsibilities that God has ordained. Eve, at the behest of Satan, succumbed to his deception, and Adam followed, plunging the race into sin. But despite this mistake on the part of Eve, God didn't remove the potential for blessings as a privilege of motherhood if we understand his plan. So we're going to look at this verse here, in the last verse, verse 15 here, and then we'll look at a couple of others. But here's the first little point today of two. And it's this, ladies, and you should really be privileged about this. And we should all be thankful that God didn't destroy that plan that he had for mothers, for the procreation of the race. But it's even more than that, because God shows a picture through mothers and through childbirth, okay, of his plan for us. I'm going to get to that here in just a moment. But here's the first point. God shows his plan of salvation in mothers. Now, I read those verses, and you would, if you take that and don't consider the whole picture of that, you would say what? Well, Eve made the big mistake there, so Adam was the good guy in all this, right? And therefore, women are the bad people in this, right? Because she was the one that fell first. But I don't think that's what God meant here. He knew all this was going to happen. He knew how it would take place. But here's the good news about this. It isn't that women are second-place citizens or that God has cast some kind of a curse on them in the perspective that he's still angry about what happened in the Garden of Eden. By the way, God is not angry about what happened there. Today, he's sad about what happened, but he said, come unto me, see. I've set this thing straight. And if we do it my way, and if you come to me, I'll forgive you. And it'll be great what I have planned for you. But here's the thing that we get into trouble with Satan's spokespeople today and always. Verse 15, notwithstanding she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Here's what this verse means to a lot of ladies and to others. They say, well, God just preserved them so they can have kids. Keep them in the kitchen, barefoot and pregnant. And a lot of people come at biblical Christianity and say that's what they believe. And you know what? Wrongly, some Christians don't properly understand what God did here in this. God did not put them in a secondary position, the ladies, the mothers. He has them in a privileged position. But what he means in this verse, we're going to explore just a little bit this morning. Because women have been preserved. That's the word that's being talked about there. Rather than saved that you see in the English, it's the word preserved. God has preserved the ladies for a special purpose. A special purpose. And it is not just motherhood, but it's the purpose, again, that shows God's grace and his salvation picture through the ladies. Anyway, the curse of sin and Eve's part in it, my friends, and here's what this verse really comes down to. You ladies are reminded, because my wife told me, and I was by her side when she birthed our four children, but she said it was not, in totality, a pleasant experience, was it, Kim? I was a witness there, I know. And there were even a few angry words tossed about. And especially son Greg, he was the hardest one of the whole works. But God's grace brought Bethany here. She could have not made it. Yeah, we won't go into that this morning. And I did feel some ice chips thrown at me during some of it. Now, you know, Kim and I are of that era where we did, well, they called it Lamaze. And, you know, I've told you all about that before. I think it's outdated now, isn't it, Kim? Yeah, I'm not up on all those things now, in case you wondered about that. But here it is, folks. God used childbirth. And actually, we need to turn to Genesis 3:16 right now, quickly. I just want to give you a little more evidence here. Genesis 3:16. You know, when God placed the man and woman in the Garden of Eden, it was perfect. We don't have any conception of what that was. But we do have the evidence in our lives today that things are tough, right? I mean, they're not tough like they could be, but let's face it, it's tough because we struggle because of that sin curse. We struggle with our operation of ourselves, our health, many other things. And Kim tells me And I know, and I'm not being funny about this, there was a lot of pain when she birthed those four babies, wasn't there, Kim? Yep. Genesis 3:16. You see, what took place here, well, the good news came in 15. It's called the Proto-Evangelium. He says, your seed, the women, are going to bear the deliverer, my son, Jesus Christ, into this world. And he did that through Mary. But in verse 16, he says to the woman, I will what? I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and they shall and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, here's the thing, folks. What Adam said is that because of what has happened here, there's going to be a propensity in the gals to not be happy with the position they're in. And you know that that's the case many times with things they go through. They go through terrible things here. God told Eve that. He said, your sorrows are going to be multiplied as you have children. And it'll be in pain, suffering. You'll bring forth children. But here's the thing about that, folks. What God is showing, he's showing in the act of childbirth a picture of the curse and of salvation. Have you ever considered that before? Now let me just read what I wrote as I put this message together before I mess up. But the curse of sin and Eve's part in it is displayed in the pain and travail of childbirth. God told Eve that, didn't he? Right there in Genesis 3:16. You're going to be reminded, you ladies, of course, are tied to Eve, to your mother Eve in that sense. But every time a lady has a child, she's going to be reminded of the curse and the pain. Now, don't get me wrong on this, because what my wife has told me, it's also the greatest thing. You haven't you told me that, Kim? You wouldn't lie to me, would you, dear? Yeah. You understand, though. But here it is, folks. The curse and sin are displayed in the pain and the travail of childbirth, but his redemption, his salvation, this is what verse 15 of 1 Timothy 2 is talking about. His redemption and salvation and his preservation are pictured in the mother's ability to be the deliverer of new life. You see, new life, it's a picture of our salvation and preservation of the human race. Ladies, God has not abandoned you. He has not kicked you down to second place or even lower. He has you exactly where he wants you, because God compensates for our errors. You see, he turns a tragedy into what? Into a picture of his triumph. You think about that a little bit. Ladies, every time you as a mother had a child, you pictured the curse, but you also pictured the redemption in Christ. That's a wonderful thing. And you've preserved the race. You've given it life. And folks, that's an awesome privilege. Now, I tell you, I think we ought to clap on that one. I do. Amen. And I just, I write these things, so I want to share them because I want you to get your money's worth. But God has not abandoned or cursed women and mothers. He has shown himself through them. Isn't that a miraculous thing when we consider that? That's what those verses mean there in 1 Timothy chapter 2. You know, it's not a punishment. God turned it into a privilege. And I hope that you see that today. Also, 1 Peter 3:5-7. I got to give you your full money's worth this morning. 1 Peter 3:5-7. 1 Peter 3:5-7. The Bible's full of things that back this up too, folks. You can look at it. But 1 Peter 3:5-7, if I can get on the right page here. Here God's talking about marriage, and he's talking about the role of women and mothers in marriage. And I encourage you to read this whole passage. But let me just read 5-7. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. This is the idea again of God's order and his rank and how things take place. And that's the key, ladies, to really be blessed, and men too in this extent, but we're talking specifically about the ladies and the mothers today. Submit yourselves to God and to his order, and you'll find that the blessings that flow through you are going to be innumerable. And the example here, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord,
whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. I could break all that down, but just trust me. In verse 7, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Wow, that's hard for ladies to take. Well, that sounds like God's not in favor of equality. I'm going to sign up with my women's liberation movement. Well, let me tell you something. God is not in favor of equality. In case you haven't noticed, God can do whatever he pleases. But he is not unfair to either sex. He's right on track. You see, that's Satan's stuff that he throws out. God has an ordained role and a program. Yes, men, husbands, ought to give honor to their wives. And that translation, weaker vessel, it's appropriate, but I'd rather see it, I think this hits it a little better, but as a precious vessel, a precious vessel. Lisa?
I was just going to say, when a husband and wife are joined together, they become one.
They do. That's right. So God's culture says women are to be what? Very highly thought of. And I don't want to preach a message on the rest of it on that, but you think about Satan's culture, women are used, they're trashed. It's a tragedy. Enough said. Anyway, and being, and here it is, Lisa, heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. By the way, that's one of the things the Bible says about hindered prayers, if you don't treat your wife right. Husbands, these things are important. Thank you, ladies, for that. Now, a quick example before we're done. We already saw that Peter alluded to this, but we're going to look at point two of this message. And it has to do, and there's many places I could have gone in Scripture, but God led me to this because of that verse in 1 Peter. But it's the second point of this message is about Abram and Sarai, also known as Abraham and Sarah, and the miracle and the things that God has done through mothers that affect us. Here's the point two. It's God's plan of power and potential through the miracle of mothers. God's plan of power and potential through the miracles of mothers. And so we're going to look at the example as we close here today of Sarah and Abram, Sarai and Abram to begin with. So Genesis 15, 1 through 6, really quickly here today. In other words, ladies, you never know what might come about from what God's allowed you to birth as a child, right? Isn't that exciting? And if your kids are still alive, there's still potential, right? And hope. Yeah. By the way, in case you don't understand this, I'm still very enthusiastic about Kim. I found that to be the case too, Jane. Yeah, I am. Not to say that we haven't made mistakes. Haven't we, Kim? Yeah. But I know that God's used Kim, and I know he'll use all you other ladies in that capacity as well. Well, let's get down to business here. Genesis 15, 1 through 6. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. By the way, what about Abram? He was a guy of what? He was a guy of faith. He's one of these guys that trusted God and really believed he'd do what he'd do. Was Abram perfect? No, he had a lot of things in his bag of sin tricks too that comes with humanity. Did a little lying, a little bit of things that weren't right, called sin. But he listened to God, and God gave him a vision here in verse 1. He says, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless?" This might have been a concern, right? For those of you that know the story, it was. "And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, by the way, the key there is that if there were no born children to a family, the first person in their household became their heir. So this was this guy named Eliezer, a steward, a servant in the house of Abram and Sarai. "To me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou art able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Now, we're going to get into the exact figures here pretty quick. But Abram was an old dude. He was 90. And God's making these promises, folks. And he says, no, Abram, you're going to have descendants. You're going to have a child of your own with your wife, Sarai, who happened to be 9 or 10 years younger. Okay. I told you God's the God of miracles. Now over to Genesis 16, 1 through 2. I got to cut to the chase here. Genesis 16, 1 through 2. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. Some time had transpired. By the way, does God work on time all the time? Yes, he does. But he doesn't work in our time. He has his own timetable for how things are to proceed. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. In other words, legitimately in that culture, it was never God's legitimacy. But he says, you can have a child, your husband can have a child with one of your servants, and that's adopted into your family as one of your children. Okay? But let me underscore this. God never endorsed plural marriage. He never endorsed messing around with other women, other men. God's always been in favor of what?
One woman, one man
for life. Okay? And when we go out of those bounds, there's going to be trouble. So what happens? Sarah's saying, hey, we're down the road here a ways. We need to get these kids coming, and God's not delivering. So I'm going to do what? I'm going to take it into our own hands. And Abram followed right in the footsteps of his great-great-great-granddaddy, Adam, and said, oh, okay. Big dummy. Well, that's what happened. Their lack of faith left a legacy of their sin. Just so we grab that. Our lack of faith, which is sin, and the consequences that come from that, leave a legacy. Did you get that? But yet, who is faithful even in spite of that? God. God didn't say, well, it's a done deal now. You slipped up. My promises aren't any good. Oh, no. God's promises are always take it to the bank good, right? God never writes a bad check, does he? Amen. You can always count on him.
Amen.
Anyway, there's what happened. Well, you know what came of that? Hagar and Abram did have a child. His name was Ishmael. If you listen to the news this morning, the stuff that's going on in Israel is still a result of what happened back there in that day. In case you haven't listened, there's a big problem on the Temple Mount area in Jerusalem today with the Palestinians and the Arabs. And this all ties back to this thing right here. And what it really comes down to, and I've preached before on this, but what happened is this young man, Ishmael, God still used him. He preserved his mother, Hagar. But basically what that community says is we got took. And they're going back now thousands of years, and they're still grinding the axe about this. But let me tell you, God ordained Abram and Sarai to have a son. And his name was Isaac. And God came through. And Isaac is who the seed of faith was given through. Well, let's keep going here because we're running out of time. Genesis 17, 1 through 4. By the way, I sliced and diced this as I put it together. You can read in the context, though, in between. Genesis 17, 1 through 4. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9. 90 is one thing, but 99 is another, right? The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou complete or perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Now this was applicable also through Ishmael, because God created a great nation out of him too. That's your Arabs, that descendants. The Jews came out of Isaac. And by the way, Abram was known as a Hebrew. That's where we get that term. You can go back in the text and you'll find it. But the thing is here, he says, you're destined, your activities by trusting me are destined to bring greatness on this world through what is going to take place between you and Sarai. So God makes a covenant between he and Abram at 99 years of age, with the seed being from he and Sarai. And then we find in the meantime a name change. Because Abram's name now means the father of many nations, and it's changed to what? Abraham, okay? And Sarai has a new name too. Mothers, you'll like this. Her name is changed to Sarah, which means princess. That's a word reserved for you gals, okay? For moms. That's what this is all about. Now, Genesis 17, 15 through 21. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, or means princess. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Ha, 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 99 years old, and the old woman there is 90. I don't think, though, Abram laughed out of scorn, he laughed out of joy. This is going to happen through you, Lord, to me, at this point in my life. And said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham, why am I having trouble with that? Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Abraham had a legacy in Ishmael too. And like I said, it's there yet today. Don't have time to preach on all that today. But let's see, where was I at here? 9 through 15. Did I go? Oh, yeah, I got to go through 21, right? Yes. 19. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. By the way, you know what Isaac means?
Laughter.
Laughter. Laughter. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time next year. Wow, isn't God fantastic? Well, let's see how this turns out. Genesis 21. I hope you'll read this whole context. I've preached on this many times over the years. Genesis 21, 1 through 2. Because God is going to deliver his power and his potential in the miracle of motherhood. Genesis 21, 1 through 12. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. I just want to say that I won't go to the text, but it's back in the chapters there as you read through this. What really God did was a miracle. Sure, older people cannot have children. But God reset the clock. If you look into the words here, the text, that's what he did. He made them, even in their agedness, he gave them the miraculous ability to bear a child together. That's how God works. He's a God of miracles. So he said, he did as he had spoken. Verse 2 of 21. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken to him. Like we said, God's always on time. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare unto him, Isaac. I'm sure they were going, ha, 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 ha. Isn't this something what God did in these two old codgers, right? See, I can say that now because I'm an old codger. It's not discriminatory. By the way, what does codger mean? Could be, Doug. But Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him. Oh, I read that. Verse 4. And Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. That's all in the text as well. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. By the way, I think this was a joyful event in their life. The birth of a child is not a time to be sad. The birth of a child that's facilitated through God's plan of mothers is a time to be joyful. I don't care if your kids give you trouble yet today or gave you trouble. This is a neat thing from God. And don't get too shook up about your kids. God will deal with them. He dealt with us, hasn't he? Enjoy them. Doesn't mean we shouldn't do what's right and training them and so on and so forth. But God will deal with them. He's got it all in control. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Now, if you know the truth here, help me, his name, Ishmael. He was about 13 years older than little Isaac, and he was hassling the kid. Now, here is part of the institution of motherhood as well. You've heard me say this from the pulpit before with Kim. She says, you come after my cubs and I'll be I'll be a mean mama bear. Ooh, yes. Is that true, Kim? Sarah didn't like this at all. And you know the story. She says, you get this gal and him out of here. And God agreed, but God didn't abandon them. And I have to say this as well, that was not wrong of Sarah to protect her children and to protect God's gift that was given to them. But Hagar was not a bad mother either. She really wasn't, and you can read the context there. But that's a sign of a good mama that obeys God, but also what? In the right reason, for the right reasons, protects her children with her life, literally. Well, we got to wrap this up. Verse 10, though, she says, get this gal out of here. By the way, it was she that brought that all about, but Abram didn't have to do it, but he did. Verse 11, and the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Yeah, well, it's also because of your sin, Abraham. There are repercussions. But last verse, and God said unto Abraham, let it be not grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman in all that Sarah hath said unto thee. Here it is. Listen to her. We need to listen to our wives and the mothers of our children. They're not all wrong about things. Well, as long as what they're saying is right. But here's what God says. He says, listen to her. Listen to her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. God used this supernatural event of his promise between, at that time, Abram and Sarai, later Abraham and Sarah, to bring about his providential plan. The potential, even in a couple of folks that were 90, 99 or 100 years old, 90, is not too big of a hurdle for God to step over. What hurdles in your life and mine today or in the lives of mothers here or mothers to be? There is no hurdle that God can't allow you to step over. Amen? You are not second-class citizens. You are important to God. And mothers are a powerful influence, and they have great potential through the Lord. I want you to know that today. Well, in conclusion, but God used a mother to be the facilitator of his plan of all the ages. And you know what? There's a special descendant that comes through this lineage from Isaac. You know who that special descendant is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Through his mother, Mary, that was a descendant of Isaac. See, ladies, you don't know, and we don't know even for those of us that are alive, the oldest person in this room today that their mother bore, there's still a legacy to be written. God may use someone tremendously. Maybe he has, maybe he will. When you have a child, there's power and potential there from God. Amen. You are vital in his program. He loves you. He's not put you in a second-class position. Just think of that. Isaac was a descendant, had a descendant through Mary of Jesus Christ, the God-man. Well, here's the conclusion. There are many accounts like this of God's plan worked through mothers. We could go right down the line. Jochebed, even Mary. All kinds here in the Bible. Jochebed was the mother of who? Moses. You know what? Kim asked me if I was going to say anything about Charlotte Brown today. Well, all I'm going to say is I wouldn't be speaking this morning if it wasn't for my mother. Who would have thought that this clodbuster would end up having the responsibility and the privilege to preach the Word of God? My mom had a hand in that. Like I said, we all make mistakes. You know, I know that my kids are becoming mature when they begin to admit to me, I've made mistakes too. Right, Kim? We didn't raise our kids perfectly. But some of our kids are now saying, we've struggled too. Well, that gives you two of our four that have children that you can guess on there. But moms, count it a privilege to see God's plan of salvation and redemption work through you. You are an important part to God and your children and to His plan and His legacy. So happy Mother's Day. Amen. Don't forget your little gift at the door. I'm done. Let's stand and take our hymnals. Yes, our hymnals out of the pew rack this time. And we're going to go to 360. 360. Now you're going to say, John, are you off your rocker today? Why are you picking a hymn like this as a closing hymn? I'll tell you why. Because you know what? Satan has blinded people. He's blinded mothers. He's blinded fathers. We need to look and live. We need to look to Jesus. See? All these things are in His plan. If we'll follow it, my friends, we'll be okay. But if we keep messing around and listening to the evil one, you know what's going to follow is destruction. And it has. Hasn't Satan had enough victories? Aren't you ready to give the Lord, you know, a try? He is the one that got the real victory. But moms, thank you today. And may this message, even if it's not perfectly delivered, may it give you hope and encouragement. Also today, if there's someone here that's never trusted in Christ, you know, you're still trying to do it Satan's way. Let me tell you, God's plan of salvation, it's a miracle. None of us deserved it, and He gave it to us. A godly mother would tell you, you better take the plan. Walk in the right ways with the Lord Jesus Christ. Be forgiven of your sins. Be given new life in Christ. Be rebirthed in Christ. What better day than Mother's Day to see that take place? Whatever God's doing in your life today, walk with Him. He's approachable. He's near if you'll come near to Him. Let's sing together. If you need to make a move in your life today, this is a good time to do it. I've a message from the Lord, hallelujah, the message unto you I'll give. 'Tis recorded in His Word, hallelujah, it is only that you look and live. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in His Word, hallelujah, it is only that you look and live. Look into His loving eyes today and see what He has for you. It is only good things that are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Doug, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?